And let us pray together. Holy and almighty God, we pray this day that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, that your spirit would open our hearts and our minds and our lives, that as we hear your word, we would learn to follow and witness to the one who is our Savior and our Lord. Jesus Christ is his name. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson through all these weeks of Advent comes to us through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. Today it's chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, and then 8 through 11. It's on page 529 and here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. And here ends the lesson from the prophet. The lesson from the gospel today is from John's gospel. We hear about John the Baptist from John's viewpoint this time. So it's chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, then 19 through 20, on page 750. And here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that life, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Then who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice, the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptized. And here ends the lesson from the Gospel. Finally, the lesson from the second half of the New Testament comes from Paul's letter to the first letter to the church in Thessalonica. So it's 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 24, and it's page 861. And Paul wrote to the early church, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Thessalonians. This is the word of the Lord. So we're in the third Sunday of Advent. We're almost to Christmas. Each week, each Sunday through these Sundays, we've been closing the circle. We've been drawing the circle of Christ's coming smaller and smaller each week until finally on Christmas Eve, a week from tonight, we get it all the way to the manger. On the first Sunday of Advent, we talked about hope. The hope of our Lord's second coming, primarily. And we listen to Isaiah plead for God to come and be with his people. Last week, we talked about peace, the peace of preparing for Christ. And Isaiah talked of the comfort that only God can give. And today, we talk about joy, the joy of singing God's praises. The third Sunday of Advent in the Middle Ages was called Gaudete, which literally means praise, called Gaudete, joy Sunday. Because the penitential purple that we talk about during Advent, where we practice repentance and contrition, that penitential purple lightens a little bit, and we sing praises to God. Today, you primarily heard from the choir and the bells. They were really the sermon. They're doing most of the preaching today as they witness to God's glory. This week, we hear of Isaiah, the prophet, singing of the vindication of God's people. God's people who are in the desert, in the middle of oppression and brokenness and sorrow. Isaiah sings of a time to come when their mourning will turn to joy, their despair to praise, and their ruin to restoration. Isaiah's song is a call to all God's people to witness, to sing about God's comfort and God's restoration. And John the Baptist sings the same song. Today, we're in the second week of John the Baptist. Last week, we talked about John, and we saw him at the Jordan River, and we saw the clothes that he wore of camel's hair and uncured leather, and we talked about the fact that he ate locusts and wild honey. We heard last week John quoting Isaiah, "Prepare the way of the Lord." In John's gospel, it's not so much John the Baptist's actions that are important as his words, his voice. In John, the Baptist is a voice, a witness. In John's gospel, we see that the Baptist's mission, his work, his call, is to witness, to point to Jesus Christ. Witnesses exist to point away from themselves and towards Jesus. John the Baptist defines himself primarily by who he's not. They ask him, "Who are you?" And he confesses freely, "I am not the Messiah, the one that the children of Israel were waiting for." "Well, are you Elijah?" they say. "Elijah is the one that the prophets taught would come back and then God's people would be restored. Are you Elijah?" He says, "I am not." "Well then," they say, "are you the prophet?" Anytime there's a prophet with a capital P, they're pointing back to Moses, the great deliverer who rescued God's people from slavery in Egypt and delivered them through fire and water to freedom in the promised land. "Are you that prophet?" they ask. He says, "No." His answers get shorter and shorter. "I'm not the Messiah. No, I am not Elijah." And when asked, "Are you the prophet?" he simply says, "No." And then they say, "Well, you're telling us who you're not, so tell us who you are." And he doesn't say, "I'm the baptizer." He says only this, "I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." John says that he is a voice, a testimony, a witness to the light of Christ and to joy. Just like the choir and the bells, just like me, and you. Third Advent says that we are all called to sing praises. We're all called to witness. We're all called to testify to the light and to joy. The kids sitting up there in that first row knew that you can't tell good news unless you open your mouth somehow and tell it, unless you use your voice. 1 Thessalonians is the earliest document in the New Testament. It was written probably only 20 years, 30 years after the resurrection, way before the Gospels were written. And Paul already at that point in his life, at that point in the life of the early church, is telling those early believers how to live a joy-filled life, how to live a witnessing life. He says, this is what it looks like. Rejoice always. Pray without stopping. Always give thanks. Because God is at work and the Holy Spirit is active. God's word is working in your lives, Paul tells the Thessalonians. And he tells us. How do we live that witnessing, that joy-filled life? Rejoice. There are seven imperatives in eight verses. Rejoice. Pray. give thanks. Hold on to what is good and reject evil. That's how to witness. That's how to sing praises, whether you can sing or ring or not. That's how to preach joy and comfort. Because so many people are lost. So many people are in the darkness. Many of us know the story of the Bataan Death March during World War II. And 513 American and Allied prisoners of war survived that death march, only to be imprisoned in the Philippines under the Japanese. They were in captivity for 3 long years, and many of them died during the march or in the camp, either of malnutrition or execution. But in January 1945, 121 American Rangers came out of the jungle surrounding the prison camp, and they chased the guards away and they freed the captives. There's an account of that event. It's written by a man named Hampton Sides, and it's called Ghost Soldiers. And Sides reports, slowly the awareness that this was a jailbreak was beginning to sink in among the prisoners. One prisoner wrapped his arms around the neck of the first ranger he saw, and he kissed him on the forehead. Alvy Robbins, another ranger, found one prisoner muttering in a darkened corner of the barracks, tears coursing down his face. "I thought we'd been forgotten," the prisoner said. "No, you're not forgotten," Robbins told him. "We've come for you." The joy that we sing about this Advent is that God never forgets, especially and even on the worst days of our lives, the least and the lost and the despairing. And all we can do is witness to God's glory, to sing his praises, to tell his joy. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, God himself is faithful. The one who calls you is faithful. And he will do it through you. Amen. And let's pray. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for all the witnesses to your light, the prophets, John the Baptist, and so many people in the millennia since, witnessing to your light and your comfort and your joy. We pray that you would give us the grace and strength in our own time to witness to the good tidings of comfort and joy that you offer to all the world. We pray in your Son's holy name. Amen.